of the dead. And in Jesus' time, they always understood the resurrection as being something yet in the future. And today, people don't think of it that way. Today, they think of the resurrection as already having passed. And the Apostle Paul says that is heresy. Not in that word, he said, but he says, they've erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what I want you to do here. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. This is the common teaching of modern Christianity. The resurrection is already past. It's not future. It's happened. Oh, they're looking down from the portals of heaven right now. Oh, our dearly departed. Departed. No, he's right there. The only thing that's departed from them is the spirit, which God gave. The spirit isn't the person. It's just like Elijah. The spirit of Elijah was in John. That doesn't mean John was Elijah reincarnated, does it? Well, therefore, when the spirit departs from man, the man doesn't depart. It's the spirit. They're not their conscious selves. When that spirit departs, that's not where the person goes. Jesus gave up the ghost. And he was buried, but his soul was not left in hell. So when he says the dead live unto him, it doesn't mean that like, well, they're already in heaven. That's your conditioning speaking. Jesus is talking about the resurrection. They live unto him in the resurrection. Because every other place, the dead are going to hear his voice and come forth. Where do they hear his voice from? From the grave. Jesus' soul was in the grave. He had not yet ascended to his Father when Mary Magdalene came. When he died, he didn't go to heaven. He didn't go to paradise. He went into the grave. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. So some guys were there to try to trip him up. And other guys were like, that's a good answer. And they didn't ask him questions. So he decided to ask them a question. Verse 41. And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? That's Psalm 110, verse 1. This psalm is understood to be messianic. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Speaking of Messiah. And we also know that from other scriptures that he will be the son of David. Like Isaiah. Chapter 9, chapter 10, right in there. If that's not chapter... Just look chapter 7, 8, 9, 10. And read them carefully. And you'll find many references how he would be on the throne of David. To establish it. As a son of David. So how then? It's a question for them. Because they don't believe on him. He would be the son of David. Who is this Messiah? He's the son of David. Well, how come he calls him Lord? He's teasing them a bit. Because the Messiah is... Because usually a son is not called Lord by his father. But as Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, the Lord God said unto to the son, he says, Thy throne, O God. God calls the Son God, and David calls the Son Lord. Though he be his Son, yet he is greater. The Son exceeds the Father so much. I mean the Father David, not the Father, the Heavenly Father. That his Son is called by him Lord, meaning David calls Christ Lord. Because he is the image of the invisible God, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad and paid tithes to him of all. He's teasing them with the fact that he is the Son of God. He is greater than David, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham. How then is he his son? That's his conundrum for them to think about. If he's his son, then how does he call him Lord? If he's his Lord, then why does he call him son? Verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. Jesus hates that kind of hypocrisy. They that are whole need not a physician. You know, if they'd repented, if they'd been sorry for their sins, they could have been healed. But God hid the wisdom from their eyes that they would not. That in their selfish self-interest they might preserve themselves. But for the love of the truth, no. Because they love not the truth. And they were not granted the wisdom either of self-preservation. To see the truth when it was before them. And to act in a wise manner. Men are shrewd. You know, just like the unjust judge. He isn't just. And he fears God nor man. But for his own peace sake, he'll do what that widow asks. And they may hate Christ. But if they knew it meant their lives, they wouldn't crucify him. And, you know, men today, they love, look, you can pick on the Catholic Church. It's so easy. They wear long robes, tall hats. They enlarge the borders of their garments. Do you ever see the fringes on those garments they wear? They're huge. And they wear their backwards collars everywhere so everyone can know who they are. Oh, hello, Father. Hello. And the highest seats in the synagogues, oh yes, or whatever church you happen to go to, oh, we reserve these seats up here for the rich. Please, you can't sit there, lady. Make room. Someone important's coming. And the chief rooms at feasts, oh, you sit at the first table. You're an important person. You're a man of God. And they devour widows' houses. Oh, give unto the Lord, poor widow. Give unto the Lord. Mail me. P.O. Box 596. You know, blah, 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 blah. Send me your money and God will pour out a blessing on you. And they make long prayers. Oh, they can pray a long time, can't they? Because everyone knows, you know, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? Sometimes it's good to pray long. On the other hand, are we just multiplying words or do we really have things to say? If you really don't have anything to say, shut up. If you really got something to say, pray as long as you need. But they make prayers for show, long ones. And there's great damnation waiting for them. Great damnation.